So again, we turn to Psalm 118, verse 24 is our scripture, and it's a familiar scripture. I was actually considering another scripture that I'd probably go to, but this just seemed to be the place to go to today together. Psalm 118, verse 24, and we're going to remember, as we've already sung it together, the context is very directly about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 21 in two different places. So have that in view as well. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to read it again, but before I forget, Rachel, if you could bring me my phone after the service and after the announcements, I'm going to play something from my phone as people exit. I love this verse. I love all the different versions of this verse that I've been blessed to learn to sing over the years. And this is the verse we're going to give ourselves to today. This right now, are many of you feeling like I am? Tired. A little bit like, oh boy, got to start another week tomorrow. Same kind of stuff. Woof. But I'm glad I'm here. How are we going to kind of get a pick-me-up and work through it today? Here's how we're going to do it. Verse 24. We're going to say together, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I was glad to hear Gabriel reciting that with me right now. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. Well, again, this week I really needed to do thematic sermons again, topical sermons. They require a lot less preparation. It's been a real busy week for Session and myself. We had extra meetings. We had three meetings we were not even planning on this Thursday, but we made time for them, and they were wonderful. We'll tell you about them later in the announcements. But a lot of work related to all that we're doing to prepare. And then there was a presbytery report we had to get ready to send with some deadlines. Just a lot of decisions to make, a lot of things to do from those decisions, a lot of letters to write. And we said to each other, boy, we are overwhelmed. We said, the good thing is it's a good overwhelmed. It's different than a lot of the overwhelmed we've experienced for a while. This is a good overwhelmed. This is a happy overwhelmed. Lots of great things we're busy with. But boy, are we overwhelmed. We are tired. And it's challenging to feel like we can just get up and get the next day started. But it's a good overwhelmed. We're exhausted. And so this topical sermon today is to help us. I'm thinking of our elders, and particularly one elder burning the candle at both ends for you and all that we're doing. But I'm sure all of you often feel this way with the different things going on in your lives. To help us endure today, we come to this scripture. And what's on my mind, at least, that I thought a number of us could use as a pick-me-up and a battery charge and a refueling of the gas tanks, if you will. Mondays are tiring for ministers. I appreciate what someone has shared. I think Spurgeon used to call them Elijah Mondays. You're just so tired on Mondays. And I'm always quite tired. And now that I'm working that second job, I got to get in and put the hours in. And I'm not complaining. I'm so thankful. I love the job. I love the work. But I do find myself being more tired than I can remember. And I thought I was pretty tired the last few years. But it's a good tired. I think of the Psalm 127. He gives his beloved sleep. You know, Ecclesiastes, I believe, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. So it's a good tired. But on Monday, I had something come up that was particularly discouraging. Thankfully, my wife called me and supported me and encouraged me through. I was so tired, and it was particularly surprising and inappropriate, that something I had to deal with. And I was just so exhausted, and thus I was so exasperated. And I almost went home. I just didn't feel like I physically could do the work. But I got myself a pick-me-up that included, a little bit later, having lunch. That did help, just as honey, right? but what really helped me was I opened the Psalter. There's many times when I just don't feel like I can work, including on the sermons, simply because I just physically don't feel capable. Sometimes I don't feel spiritually capable, maybe often enough. And what I'll do is I'll take the Psalter off of my bookshelf, and I will just start singing the Psalms until I feel like I can. And there's never been a time where the Lord didn't equip me to get to work. And so often I, as I did, I turned to Psalm 71 and Psalm 73 and just was greatly encouraged and was ready for the work. It picked me up. It helped me. It rejuvenated me. And it got me through the day. And it got me through the week. And the elders and I said, whoo, man, what a week. But what a great week. And sometimes we just need energy and strength to do these great things God has called us to. Huh. You know, I feel like I'm going to drop. And I felt like, you know, a lot of what I've been thinking about lately is I just got to get through the day. And maybe you can relate. I just got to get through the day. Or I maybe just have to get through the night. And what you can see here in this verse, or at least the verse I've turned to help us do that, is this. We can choose to do this. We can make a choice. Are you having a hard day? Are you having a hard night? How are you going to get through it? Choose to rejoice in the Lord and watch him walk you through as you worship him. You can get through it, and it's worth getting through it. I felt like throwing in the towel several times this week. I felt like stopping in the marathon and just sitting down with a lawn chair and say, you pick it up from here, here's the baton. You go win the race and I'll clap for you, you know. But it's worth getting through. At the end of the week, I was rejoicing. I don't know how we did all that, but praise the Lord, we did it. And I'm so glad we got it all done because it's going to mean great progress for the church and for us. Because God made this day, each day we can say, because God made this day and he is working our salvation in it, we will choose to rejoice with and within it. I give that to you today as the idea of the text, although I'm bringing it to a thematic, topical idea. Because God made this day and he is working our salvation in it, we will choose to rejoice in it. We will choose to rejoice within it. Let's look at the context again, verses 21 through 23 leading up to our verse. Notice it's all of Christ. It's prophecy of Jesus that's fulfilled in him quite directly. The stone which the builder refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, those verses are spoken of Jesus Christ. He has fulfilled these verses. This is the day of salvation. These are the times of reformation, the scripture says. Jesus has come. The Messiah of the prophecies, including these verses in Psalm 118, has come. And so as he was riding on the donkey into Jerusalem, they wanted to make him king. They understood, but they didn't understand completely the time between his first coming and his second coming. He was coming the first time on the donkey, offering peace, bringing salvation. And so in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus is speaking to these verses, Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, about himself. He is the cornerstone of the church. The builders, the Pharisees who should have known to build upon him, rejected him, but he's the cornerstone of the building up of the New Testament church. This is of Christ. The day has come. A day for us to rejoice in each and every day. We aren't anticipating his coming for the first time. He has come. We have a special blessing being in the New Testament times. But then also, verses 25 to 26 are also in Matthew 21. So just after our verse today, look at verses 25 and 26. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Well, that's when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem and they're throwing the palm branches before him and he's riding on a donkey and they're quoting this along with other things. When it says save now, that's the Hebrew word Hosanna. It's the Hebrew word really Yeshua. Save now, O Lord. Save now. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. This is all about Jesus, and it is fulfilled. So in particular, verse 24, what day do we rejoice in? The day that Jesus Christ came into the world in the flesh. Because when he was born, the heavens split open and multitude of angels praised God that salvation has now come. The long-awaited Messiah has come. Remember Simon in the temple and Anna, they wanted to see him. They were waiting to die. They just wanted to see the Messiah, and he had come. It was a special day. So that's the day we rejoice in particularly. He came riding on a donkey. He is presently riding on his white horse, conquering and coming to conquer. He will come back. He will consummate his kingdom. And what a day that will be on the last great day. But every day leading up to it, now between the first and second coming of Christ, is a day to remember, is a day to rejoice in, is a day to serve the Lord Jesus Christ through all of our exhaustion. I think Gideon just shouted out an amen for us there. Notice that David says, I will. He doesn't say, I might. He doesn't say, I'll try. He says, I will. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it. You know, the psalm is a psalm of deliverance from troubles, as most of them are. And yet, in all the troubles, I will praise the Lord. I will rejoice in Jesus the Messiah and that he has come. And so every day is a day of salvation for me. You see, he says, I will rejoice. That is, it is volitional. It is an act of the will. It is your choice. Because of what God has done, this is what I will do, David says. Because Jesus saves, because Jesus has saved me, I will sing. Because my King protects me, I will praise him. This is how you persevere every day until that day as his saints. I was kind of curious if I'm the only one that was looking for Bible verses about how to get through a hard day. I found one pretty quickly. I neglected to list the website name, but it did say 10 scriptures for hard days. I'm not sharing all of them. I'm sharing most of them because I want to share a few others that I've thought of. But let me just share these scriptures with you to help you remember to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it as your way that you will get through your hard days and your hard nights. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye, this is Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, that's not something you only need to reserve for the one-time salvation. That is, Jesus has come to me every day. My yoke, a yoke is a yoke of work, right? Of labor. You put on his yoke, though, and it's light. The days are hard, but his work is light. That is, they're not hard on your soul. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I didn't list it because I'm trying not to go too long today, but of course there's a psalm we've looked at that says, cast your cares upon him, he cares for you. You know, he cares about you, and he can care for you like no one can. You have that image, you'll remember, of its taking of the burden that you can't carry and putting it on top of the donkey. He's much stronger. He can carry that for you. Cast your burdens onto the Lord. Romans 8, verses 28 to 29, but I've also added verse 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, those last two scriptures, you might recall, were special requests by the Maxwells over the years. It's interesting how most of these scriptures are the ones we ask for to strengthen us. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, another one. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry. That means don't have anxiety. Before I continue, Jesus says the same thing. Let me slow down and let me repeat, because we need it. Do not worry. Do not give yourselves to anxiety. This is a command of Jesus. It is not an option. It's a sin to choose to worry. It's a sin to choose to be afraid and not have faith in God. It doesn't mean things aren't real, but I love the message in the speech that my daughter Olivia is giving now about replace fear with faith. She quotes from a movie I think we did here, and the father says to the son, fear is not real. Fear is something we choose to do. He says, now don't misunderstand me. There's real danger, but fear is your chosen response to it. So don't choose to be afraid. Don't choose to be anxious. Don't choose to worry, because it's a sin, and it also will not help you. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, once again, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, notice that. What's going to keep you from doing what you need to do when you're having a hard day? You're going to be tempted, especially as your body's exhausted, to give in to fears and worry. But that'll keep you from doing what you need to do to have the peace of God and make it through. What's that? Pray. Now, you may need to borrow the prayer I've shared with you many times. Lord, I'm tired. Amen. But at least pray that, you know, bring it to the Lord and leave it in his hands. Essentially, you're saying, it's all I got, you know, but you're giving yourself over to him. But you don't want to worry about the day. You want to make it through the day by replacing that worry with prayer. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Philippians 4, 13. I think most of us need to have this taped to our heads so we look at it in the mirror every day, a couple times a day. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And lastly from this list, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. With that verse, let me read our verse today one more time. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now remember, we're going through Philippians in the evening. I hope to get back there next week too. Joy is one of the themes. He says, rejoice. And he says, and I say it again, rejoice. And then again, hey, it's no problem repeating myself, rejoice. And he's writing from prison for the gospel. It's a choice to rejoice. I think I'm going to write that down. I like alliteration and rhyme, and it's not all that impressive, but those things are helpful for echoic retention, right? It's a choice to rejoice. The text that I thought I was going to take us to today, very related to Philippians, Matthew 6, verse 34, Jesus says this, take therefore no thought for the morrow, same Greek as be careful for nothing. Take no thought for the morrow. Now, see, that's the thing, thinking. Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4, don't think about this, think about that. Don't think about this, think about that. It is a choice about what you give your time thinking. Is it a choice about what you choose to think or how you choose to see things with the perspective of the scriptures and the spirit? It's a discipline, which is why contentment that is a result of that is called by Jeremiah Burroughs a rare jewel for Christians, and by Thomas Watson as an art form. These things do not come but by way of discipline and practice. Jesus says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've often said, what a glorious commandment from Jesus. I can just choose not to worry about tomorrow and just do the best I can today and not worry about it all because I'm obeying Jesus' command when I do that. Thank you for commanding me not to worry. That's all I need to know, right? You know? I'm just going to obey Jesus. But there's a great blessing as well. The message for that sermon, and it also involved Philippians 4, was keep changing how you think. Keep changing the way you think. Jesus said the same thing. Don't think about that. Don't worry about that. Think about this. And he's always directing us to God and how God provides. Remember to have that heavenly, holy perspective about the things on this earth. And that this isn't, anyways, we're on our way to the Holy Land, the place of heaven. He said, remember, Jesus said, you know, at the end, don't take your thought of tomorrow. Let today be sufficient for today. Why? Because your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask. Look at the lilies. How beautiful they are, and yet so simple. They're more beautiful than the most fine raiment, and God takes care of them. He's going to take care of you. Look at the birds. I remember I used to love, Isaac would respond to this sermon at the time. We'd always say, behold the birds. And I was just thinking of that, listening. We had just the most beautiful warbling outside the baby's room just the other day. It was just gorgeous. All these songs. I mean, it's incredible how beautiful. And I was thinking, yes, just remember the birds. Not only do we have to see them, but they help us see them in our mind's eye with their beautiful singing. God takes care of the birds, Jesus says. He's going to take care of you much more. He says all that. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Just get through today. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know about you, but I tend to be a planner and a visionary and a perfectionist, and I can get really overcome and frustrated when I don't feel like I'm getting done what I think I need to get done for that to get done, for this to get here. Now, it isn't that we're not supposed to have plans. We're studying a book right now, Elders, that's talking about planning. We need to make plans. God makes plans. But we're not God. We're not omnipotent. We're not omniscient. All we know is what he tells us in the scriptures, and all we know is when that's about all I can do today. And if we can honestly say that, that's it. Let today be enough. I remind you, take it one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Work through today. I remind you also of a sermon on Mark 14, verses 1 to 9 I preached for you a while back when I was feeling unbelievably spent physically and emotionally. And the message was, love Jesus and do what you can. Jesus said about the woman who had anointed him, and they were complaining, he said, among other things, he said, let her alone. She has done what she could. And for her, it was a lot, just like the widow's mite. Leave her alone. She's done what she could do. And he says, the scriptures will always remember her. She did what she could do. Let her alone. He says the same for you, beloved. You can always manage to worship Jesus no matter what kind of day or night you're having. You can always manage to worship Jesus each day. And even as you just acknowledge your dependency and you offer up to him your exasperation and need for help and you choose to give him glory for whatever you got left in you to do, that's worship. Each and every day, and ultimately looking to the last day when you will enter the eternal day, remember Isaiah 14, verse 13, or verse 3, excuse me, Isaiah 14, verse 3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from the sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. There's going to be a point where there is no more night, beloved. It's one of the beautiful images in Revelation. I know some of us are like, oh, but I love to sleep. You know, remember, it's an image. Not sure if it's all literal, but there is a point where there'll be no more night and all that that means. And boy, was I blessed, and Fernando was blessed by Mr. Renner's nuggets, you know, his daily nuggets in the cell phone text last Monday, because, and he didn't plan this, but boy, oh boy, did I need that after Saturday night last week. Oh, it was a hard one. It was literally an all-nighter. My wife's laughing. We're laughing now, honey. We weren't laughing then. And it seems like it always is more like that the night before the Lord's Day. I think Satan is, whatever way he can, trying to break us down in the service of the Lord. I've heard from other ministers, that's often how it is. So, but his nugget came at a perfect time. He quoted from Joel Beakey on Psalm 77, and I quote, "When stress robs us of sleep, our difficulty is doubled by physical and emotional fatigue. Yet, in that situation, we may devote ourselves to prayer and meditation." It is striking that precisely when the disciples were dozing off from grief and exhaustion, Christ was fervently seeking God in prayer, though his soul was burdened far worse than theirs, Mark 14. He goes on to say, "Let us follow the Master in this too. Turn sleepless nights into opportunities for earnest prayer, meditation on Scripture, and intercession." And then he asks us this question: what tends to rob you of sleep? How can you make spiritual use of the opportunity? Well, again, boy, did we need to hear this recent nugget right after all our all-nighter Saturday into Sunday. And you can imagine, I'm so concerned. I just got to get a little sleep. I got to preach all day. I got to finish my sermons. But you know, there's just going to be times where the baby's going to say, "Ain't gonna happen, Pop." You know, it's sorry, I'm teething, and I'm sorry, I can't worry about your needs. I'm a baby. Rock me. Okay, and every time I lay him down, you know, that all night long, you're just so desperate for sleep. But if you can say, you know what, I just accept I will not be sleeping tonight. The Lord has sustained me many times through sleepless nights, including before I have to serve on the Lord's Day. And isn't it a better idea, if I'm not going to sleep, than not to be anxious all night and instead choose to just praise the Lord? Hey, don't we all have the problem sometimes of when we're trying to praise the Lord in devotions at night, we fall asleep? Maybe that's a good way to go anyhow, right? But if we are up all night, if that's the way it's going to be, what a glorious thing, instead of angst and stress and worry, to just have worship and praise and give God glory. Just as I was typing these words this morning at about 5:45, having been up quite early to put this sermon together for you, Fernanda opens the doors to where my study is with Gideon. And Fernanda's like this. And Gideon's like this. "How's it going, Dad? How about we go for a walk right now?" It's hilarious. I mean, the kid is so awake and so happy. And it's good for him, because one of the things we often say is in the morning, "It's a good thing you're cute. That's how you survive, kid." But we're like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" Because I was just about to finish my sermon. I'm like, "Oh boy, first time in a long time, I'm going to lay back down next to mama. I'm going to sleep a little bit." I said, "Okay, honey, you go try to get some sleep, and I'll rock this kid to sleep." And I put some of the daddy power on him, and she brings some extra milk, and I got him back to sleep. And I was able to lay down for a little while. But I said, "Honey, your timing is amazing, because I just typed this nugget from Mr. Renner that we're supposed to be happy when we're not sleeping and use it for worship. So how about we do that? So I can tell them that's what we did." But thankfully, we had a better attitude anyway. So she said, "Okay." So we sat there as we started to rock him. And I have to cover his face so he keeps, "Stop it." And we sang this, Psalm 118, verse 24. We sang it the way we know. This is the day that the Lord hath made, We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. You know, we used to put Gabriel to sleep with that a lot. It's something of blessing. Then we went on to sing Psalm 117, and then we went on to sing Psalm 23, and then Mommy went and got some milk, and we put him back to sleep, and then we went to sleep. So we were glad for that, too. But it was actually a lovely moment. Thank you for your nugget. And praise the Lord, because that is not how we handled it last week. I'm not trying to look all great. I'm trying to say we're trying to learn, and it was way better than last week. Amen, Mommy? Same problem, different choice. This is the day the Lord has made. This is his plan. This is his providence for me right now. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. That's empowering, isn't it? That's really empowering. And then what a different experience you can enjoy in the Lord. Remember, God gives songs in the night. He gives joy new every morning. He gives mercies new every morning. Job 35:10, Psalm 30, verse 5, Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. So there's always a reason to get through the day and to get through the night. Whether you see the sun or the moon above you, trust that God is watching over you, and you can always praise him, and that will always bless you until the moon and the sun switch their places, as will your situations. And I'd like to remind you of what I shared in an e-devotion recently that I heard on Christian radio as I was driving away here one day feeling like, yeah. And I heard this as a, oh, all right. Yeah. As well as God rewrote my story, his glory rewrote my, okay, yeah. The announcer just said this really quickly in between a commercial break and a song. Are you having a hard day? Worship through it. Amen. That's great advice. Are you having a hard day? Worship through it. This is the day. Is it a hard day? What day isn't a hard day one way or the other? I mean, even on vacation, something always happens, right? You know? This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the day of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, who has already come. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It isn't saying you don't have hard days. It's saying, here's how you can handle them. Worship through it. Hard days, hard nights may even be good days, but you still need God's help to endure being overwhelmed by all the good that you got to figure out how you're going to get done. And when you choose to worship him through it, that is to exalt him in them. And that is your chief end, is it not? To give God glory and to enjoy him forever? Imagine the better we get at that through our hard days and nights, what's it going to be like in heaven when it's so very natural? Worship through your hard days and hard nights. This is the message for you from the text. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Beloved, worship through your hard days and hard nights. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, I do thank you for this encouragement about how we can choose to use our days. Our choice, let it be to rejoice. Almighty God, because every day is a day we have to redeem our time in Christ. Every day is a gift. And we know that one day we'll be in certain days where we'll wish we had these days to live over again. We'll recognize the gifts that each one of them are, and how we either wasted them or maximized their use for your glory and our good. And Lord, how much better it is to choose to worship you and to acknowledge your providence and your sovereignty, to submit to you in it and to accept and acknowledge that we are not God over our days. We do not govern them. You do. All we can govern is by your gracious spirit how we respond. And we can always respond and in rejoicing. Let us follow the example and command of the Apostle Paul in Philippians. Almighty God, we do cry out to you asking for forgiveness for how often we don't praise, but in one way or another we curse. How fearful it is to consider that. In one way or the other we curse you as they did in the wilderness. And so they didn't go to the promised land for a long time. They murmured and complained. They didn't trust and they didn't obey. And all they did was bring greater curses and sorrows upon their heads as you buried them in the desert. Lord, lead us into places flowing with milk and honey, as it were, especially in our hearts. Let us be thankful, for this is your will for us. Let us remember what life would be like without you. Let us remember what each day would be like without the hope of the eternal day and the dread of a final day outside of Christ. Almighty God, we have so much to rejoice in. Let us be people known for merry spirits, not because we have no problems, not because we do not sorrow, for there are many scriptures that say that it's better to have a sad face. There's a place for mourning also. But in it all, we can choose to praise you and rejoice in the hope of the gospel that will not disappoint, the hope of the resurrection that is sure as an anchor to our soul. So, Lord, as we go out today, let us rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, the day we give every week to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we look forward to his return and our own resurrection, which is secure in him. We give you glory, O Lord God, and we pray as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved, if you will allow me, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, which will be a brief one this morning, and a reminder, after we go out to sing and close our service, we will come back for a quick meeting. But if you would allow me, I would like to just praise our little one, Gabriel. Gabriel, you sat still the whole time and were a very good boy today. And you know what he said before we got out of the car today? He says, I'm going to obey mommy. I'm going to be obedient. And I just praise the Lord, and I want to encourage you, and I'm thankful that you all understand we want to support our little covenant children, and the best time is right now. I don't want to distract us from worship, but out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, thou hast ordained strength. So good job, Gabriel. Praise the Lord. And Gideon was pretty good, too. Yeah. Michael Delgado, you were great. Good job. Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay, I better stop now.